JT, live in Vegas.
No chance an inaugural expansion hockey team's going to make the playoffs. Stop. They did.
The Knights win the Pacific Division in their inaugural season.
This city must turn into a hockey city on the radio fast. Talked to a friend today and he said, listen, it's all gravy from here on out. I go, you're wrong. It's not all gravy. You didn't get here to lose in the first bleeping round.
He's gone. Off through his legs. Carlson, shorthanded.
I'm going to let you act like a hockey town the way they do in Detroit and Boston.
We got to match the intensity that they're going to bring. They have the experience, but we got home ice.
Somebody with a pulse.
This playoff, every game matters.
Here come the Knight fans.
What Vegas is going to bring into that arena is going to be incredible.
Let's act like a hockey town. Let's do our job. Let's go balls out every day for an hour. That's the only radio I do. I'm ready to go. I'm fired up.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Thanks for joining us, JT, with you. And we do have a hockey date and a hockey time. As TC Martin just said on his show, and the breaking news, Thursday night hockey at T-Mobile. Golden Knights, the home team, game one of the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Love to get some reaction from you on how that works for your schedule. What do you think? Excited? I'm thrilled. I get to go. The NFL draft has me off the air here as we're taking the big Fox TV simulcast, and I'm pretty pumped up about it. Did you get enough notice to put this together in your personal life? This show is brought to you by Golden Entertainment, the owner of the PT's brand, which is exploding all around the valley. Sierra Gold, all the great locations you can go to. My bar, the SG bar right on the corner here, or the Stratosphere, your home for hockey as the Knights advance in the postseason. Again, I think the NHL made a really bad mistake with this. I really think they dropped the ball. This will never happen again in the city of Vegas. This will never, with the capital N, happen where you'll sweep the first round and have to wait this long for a game again. I can promise you it will never happen again. So with all these unique things that have happened this year, I'm pretty sure in the rest of your lifetime, you could be in your teens or be in your 70s, you will never see this again. We're a hockey team that is this new, an expansion year. You'll never be an expansion team again, but you'll have to wait this long between the first and second round. Again, I think it's a mistake by the NHL because what the NHL has done, and they have to wait. They have to even up the schedules. I get it. Some series are going seven. Others, like this one, ended in four. But you take away the momentum of what people are talking about. There has been no Golden Knights talk a little bit on national television because the team's been out. Now, all of a sudden, we on the flagship station, this building is buzzing. Everybody's now, you know, clients, radio spots, pregame, postgame. Now everybody is working around here like worker bees going, we got to get going for Thursday. It's exciting in radio here in this town. How excited are you for the Thursday night game and the start of the series? Give us a call right out of the gate, 876-1340. Again, I was at practice earlier today and talked to a couple of people, and it was pretty much figured out today that it would be the Thursday start, but Mr. Foley was at practice, George McPhee, the players who were out there, really short, but a great crowd that was there, and you know the armory was full, everybody's buying gear. It's insane what's happening in this city. So when this team has an off day, I highly recommend going to the practice facility, because you can get in and watch an hour of hockey, watch these guys skate, and then afterwards, you know, have lunch or go to the team store and go have a good time there. But I'm thrilled about this. I'm excited about Thursday and what this means, and love your opinion on it right out of the gate via Twitter at JT the Brick or via Facebook at JT the Brick. Before we get to some of the Gerard Gallant sound, coming up, our first guest is Christian Dyer, great reporter, covers both New York football teams for Metro New York. He's covering the Giants and the Jets, number 2 and 3 on the clock. The draft will be dictated by Cleveland with 1 and 4 and what the Giants and the Jets do in between. There is some rumors going on now that Baker Mayfield can go number one to Cleveland. Wow. Baker Mayfield might go number one to Cleveland. Now, I think that's a smokescreen. I do, because I think the Giants are going to take Saquon Barkley number two. But what happens if Baker Mayfield goes number one and Sam Darnold's available? I think there'll be a frenzy to trade up and get him. We're going to talk all about that with him. Also, Brandon Cristal, who covers the Broncos in Denver, is going to join us. He's on the air right now. He's going to get off and tell us what John Elway plans on doing with the fifth pick overall. I think John Elway would like to trade out of that pick, but could get a quarterback. And he wanted, a lot of people thought he wanted Baker Mayfield at number five if he was still available. And then one of the greatest sports talk radio hosts of all time, Mike North in Chicago, on the elimination upcoming of the kickoff in football, which is something that I am rabid and passionate about. I want to keep the kickoff in the NFL. Mike and I will debate that issue coming up at about 40 past the hour. I'd love your opinion on that also. And basically, if you're going to take away the kickoff in the NFL, just put these guys, these men in flags, and let them play touch football. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And to me, the way I break it down is it has to do with the people who go to games, not on television. If you're watching on television and there isn't a kickoff in a football game, great. You just go to the fridge and get a beer. Go make some nachos, and they're going to start it off at the 25-yard line. Can you imagine the balls of this league? If you're paying the PSLs to get in that new Raider stadium and the kickoff of the game, they just place the ball on the 25? And you're like, wait, I'm paying $350 a ticket. I'm paying for a PSL. That's a play that you're taking away from me. I think it has a lot to do with fans that go to games more than fans on television. But what's more important? The brain safety of football players going forward. And this is a big topic locally in town here with one of the best programs in America and Bishop Gorman, Liberty, all these schools here. I can promise you this. I know what I'm talking about on the NFL. I can promise you if they eliminate the kickoff or are thinking about it at the NFL Summit next week that they will eliminate the kickoff in high school. And do you want? Maybe you like that. Maybe you want your sons playing football here in town with no kickoff. But that's closer to flag football than it is to tackle football. And if you want to get rid of tackle football, I got an open line. Explain to me why you want to get rid of it. Because I think what's happening now, we're becoming a softer and softer and softer sports society. We're very squeamish with sports. And we're going to get to the point within 5 to 10 years where we're going to make it mandatory that kids can't play tackle football until they're right at high school or right before. We're going there. We're going there. The question is, how many parents are going to say, no, I want my kid tackling at Pop Warner. I want my kid tackling at 10 years old so he can learn how to play. Because we're hearing more and more stories from parents who are saying, look, my son didn't start playing football. He didn't even start playing football until he was 14, never tackled anybody, and he's playing Division I in college. But typically that doesn't work that way. You got to kind of tackle. You got to learn how to rap if you're going to play in high school and actually start on a team and maybe get a scholarship in college. How are you going to play at LSU? How are you going to play at Cal Berkeley if you never tackled anyone until you're 15? You play college football when you're 17, 18. You're just going to start? You can't do it. Of course, there's all those outliers. But overall, this is a big topic with the NFL Safety Summit coming up here. But I'm all about the draft and the Golden Knights. Again, I shouldn't have to wait for Knight fans to call in on the flagship. Let's get moving. And, of course, the NFL draft. More on the team needs. We're going to go heavy with the Raiders tomorrow with Russell Baxter, the football guru, Scott Baer, the elite Raider insider, who will join us from NBC Sports Bay Area on the direction. John Gruden was on the field today, a veteran minicamp. So the veterans were out there, of course, not in pads, but in helmets. And John Gruden actually pretty cool today. If you go to Raiders.com to see John Gruden out there wearing his visor and getting ready. But the draft, the first four picks, I think, is the key. There could be three quarterbacks, four quarterbacks could go. The Jets and the Giants are high on the clock. Christian Dyer joins us, covers the NFL for Metro New York and Sporting News. And Christian, good to talk to you again with the New York tri-state market so big in the draft with those high picks. What are you hearing?
It's as exciting as Tebow time, JT, let me tell you.
It is a little Tebow time. It's a little Manziel time because you don't know if someone's going to jump in and go crazy early. But, you know, there is a rumor today, and Adam Schefter put it out there, that Cleveland could be interested, number one, with Baker Mayfield. I've been hearing that the Jets have wanted Baker Mayfield for quite some time. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and this is a little bit of the Harry Carey that the Jets are kind of playing right now with moving up in the draft as early as they did. I mean, keep in mind, they moved up to the number 3 pick, sitting at number 6, trading the 6th pick as well as 2 seconds this year and a second in 2019. So not a bad trade for the Jets, but to do it about 6 weeks out from the draft with a lot of movement, without having really seen too much of these guys, private workouts or anything like that, just on the heels of the NFL Combine, moving up and paying that price. Now, all of a sudden, if Baker Mayfield is the guy that the Jets had their eye on, assuming either Darnold, Rosen, or Josh Allen was going to go number 1 to Cleveland, then the Giants probably going to go after somebody like a Saquon Barkley at number 2, although that could certainly be in flux now. All of a sudden, the Jets are sitting there with perhaps the 2 guys that they had on their draft board thinking would be there, one of them going to Cleveland and the other one kind of falling to them. Now, they may be shut out and in a situation where they're having to take a quarterback that they're not necessarily enthralled with. How Jets would that be?
Christian Dyer is our guest. That's the main reason I wanted to have you on today, with all your knowledge in that market. Is, can you imagine if the Jets jumped in too early? And they jump in too early and they don't get the guy they want. But I would agree with most that they're going to get a great player. It could be the best thing that happens. If Mayfield goes number 1 and Barkley goes number 2, they could get Sam Darnold at number 3, who could be the first pick in the majority of mock drafts I'm looking at. Or what about Josh Rosen? What are they saying in New York in the tri-state area on the difference between Darnold and Josh Rosen, 2 West Coast quarterbacks?
Well, it'd be really interesting because, if keep in mind, the last time that the Jets moved up in the draft to take a quarterback was 2009, also a USC product, Mark Sanchez. And while there was a little bit of fire and sizzle there for the first couple of years, that experiment, JT, fizzled out very quickly, and now Sanchez is having a hard time keeping a job in this league as a number 3 quarterback carrying a clipboard and wearing a visor somewhere. So it would be really, I think the Jets in many ways would be a little trigger shy to go back to the USC quarterback pool, knowing full well that there's a Sanchez and a Linehart for every single success that's ever been drafted out of that program. That would be a big risk for the Jets, and I'm not sure one that would necessarily enthrall the fan base. Listen, Darnold's a guy with a big arm. He looks the part. He's got the size. You're enthralled when you see his game tape. There's a propensity for turnovers, fumbles, interceptions. Never really produced like you would think the talent around him, was necessarily capable of. If that doesn't sound like Mark Sanchez 8-9 years ago in 2009, that's a very similar scouting report in terms of the 2 quarterbacks. And Josh Rosen is somebody who I'm not sure the Jets, given their history over the past 6 or 7 years in the locker room, issues, disintegrations, having a lot of loudmouths, a ton of distractions, are going to be in a position to draft somebody who comes out and, you know, you heard what his head coach Mora had to say about him from his time at UCLA, calling him a typical millennial, which I guess has now become a little bit of a blight in the sports media circle. Someone who has worn derogatory hats about our current president. Keep in mind that the Jets ownership, Woody Johnson's divested himself of ownership with the Jets. His brother Chris is now the quote-unquote owner. But Woody Johnson, ambassador to Donald Trump to the United Kingdom right now. So I'm not sure that's going to be a great fit for him either. So all of a sudden, the Jets are in a position where potentially Darnold may not be the best fit. Josh Rosen may not be the best fit. Josh Allen might be there. He can throw over the mountain, but he can't hit the mountain. So he may actually end up sitting there at number 3, moving everything, and end up taking a running back in Saquon Barkley. Imagine that.
Christian Dyer is our guest, NFL insider for Metro New York and Sporting News, joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Let's go to Barkley. I think he's clearly the best player, period. I think he's the next coming of Adrian Peterson or Zeke Elliott, who's doing wonders when he's not in trouble for the Dallas Cowboys. I think he's the perfect fit for Cleveland at number 1 because they'd get their franchise quarterback and they'd be guaranteed to get a franchise quarterback at number 4. Now, that being said, I think the Giants now making the decision to go with Eli, how do we know that's not a smokescreen and Gettleman sitting back there knowing that he wants one of these quarterbacks? Are you confident that Eli is safe in his job with new management, a new head coach, and they won't go quarterback at number 2?
Yeah, we really have no idea what the Giants are looking to do at this juncture, and it would make a lot of sense for the Giants sitting there if Darnold is going to be there, or perhaps Rosen if they're enthralled with him, or if they think Josh Allen just needs a year or two of seasoning and development to work on the turnovers. Keep in mind, this was a guy that was a turnover machine anytime he played a Power 5 conference program. Josh Allen struggled mightily. Mm-hmm. With all that being said, Eli Manning's got 2 years left in his contract. Next year, were he to be cut, his cap hit would be minuscule to nil. So potentially the Giants could be sitting there going into 2019 with a young quarterback such as a Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, maybe even a Baker Mayfield if they felt so inclined, having had a year of development to sit behind Eli Manning. I know Eli Manning's a popular whipping boy, nationally in terms of his production and everything else, being Peyton's little brother. But this is a guy with 4 Pro Bowl appearances, twice a Super Bowl MVP. He should be allowed to go out on his own terms. But this is a business, and if the Giants are able to let a young quarterback sit there and develop behind Eli Manning for a year, then throw him out there with the weapons like an Odell Beckham, like a Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, the Ole Miss tight end that they drafted last year mm-hmm. in the first round. That could be a really interesting offense moving forward for the Giants. With all that being said, JT, I think that they'll probably end up going running back there. I think the best pick for them is the one they won't make. That would be to take Quentin Nelson, the guard out of Notre Dame, who I think, frankly, is a generational interior lineman,
wow.
somebody who's going to be multiple Pro Bowl picks. The Giants' offensive line was the worst in the league the past 2 years. They addressed it a little bit. Nate Solder this offseason coming in from the New England Patriots. You really want to fire things up there, and it doesn't matter who the running back is. Get a guard like Quentin Nelson who can pull, who's got good feet, who's physical. He's a local kid from Jersey, so I like him already. To me, that's the pick. But I think the safe pick, the one that would augment this offense, the one that would balance it, you nailed it. The best player in the draft, at least in skill positions, Saquon Barkley out of Penn State.
Wrapping up with Christian Dyer, one more. I think this draft is going to be incredible on Thursday night for the potential of teams to panic and trade up to get a quarterback. In the years, we've seen quarterbacks like Ben Roethlisberger drop to 11. We saw Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf. We saw the Jamarcus Russell draft. We saw a lot of drafts where there was only... I always use Jamarcus Russell because people forget. I covered that draft for the Raiders, and... If Russell didn't go number one, he was going number two to 10 teams. 10 teams would have taken him at number two. So there were no quarterbacks. So when you look at this draft, this draft has 5 quarterbacks in the first round. 4, I believe, can be elite in the first 5 or 6 picks. So that's the reason we should be tuning in right on Thursday night, because there could be some trades. And again, the potential star power in the first 7-8 picks. You mentioned the guard. We get to Minkah Fitzpatrick, some of the unbelievable players, Chubb, the edge rusher. This is going to be incredible. I think this is star-studded, the first 8 picks in this draft.
Yeah, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, again, another guy I love mainly because, like me, he's from Jersey, but he's someone you can play cornerback, strong safety, free safety, maybe even have him sneak in and play a little bit of linebacker with the size and the build that he has in certain situations. There is so much good talent and so much uncertainty in this draft. Like you said, we could see 4 quarterbacks go in the top 5. We've never seen that before. We may even see Saquon Barkley, seeing if teams are panicking, falling to the 6th pick, and you'd have the best player in the draft going potentially to the Indianapolis Colts if they decide not to go with Quentin Nelson for some crazy reason. So it's going to be a really interesting draft. And then keep in mind, Lamar Jackson's going to be a mid-first-round pick. We were talking about this guy being a mid-day 2 selection, and all of a sudden, workouts, everything else, his athleticism jumps off the board. He's not a wide receiver. This guy's a quarterback. If you think he's going to start or not, that's a different discussion. But Lamar Jackson's going to be in the mix there for some team that wants to trade up. And keep an eye on Mason Rudolph, the kid out of Oklahoma State. Joe Namath told me he thought he was one of the most intriguing quarterbacks he's seen come out over the past few years. This guy can throw. This guy can move. Potentially a team that might be willing to trade up, or maybe even the New England Patriots sitting there in the early 20s with that draft pick they acquired. They might just get the heir apparent to Tom Brady and let him be able to develop for a year or two. So it's going to be a great draft, and who knows? First 5 picks might all be quarterbacks, JT.
I agree. That's why I think this is big. And with the 2 picks right there in New York with the Jets and the Giants at 2, Jets at 3, I'm happy we're able to get you on here before the draft. I know you're busy. Thanks for the time. I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, Christian Dyer from Metro New York. On what is shaping up to be an unbelievable draft? It really is. A Thursday night, you got a problem now. Golden Knights are playing. So what is your priority, Bobby? That's a good phone topic, right? What is your priority on Thursday night? Is it the NFL draft or is it the Vegas Golden Knights? I think this town is still a football town more than hockey, but this is a hockey town with a huge game on a Thursday night. You can DVR the draft or watch the draft on your phone and be okay. If you have a chance to get in and get a ticket for Thursday night, let me know. 876-1340 is the number. Thanks again to Christian Dyer. Brandon Kristol is going to check in. Really good sports talk host in Denver on the fifth pick. So we covered 2 and 3, and Cleveland's got 1 and 4. At number 5, John Elway and the Broncos. A lot of Bronco fans here in the Valley over the years. And what should Elway do? Trade out? Or maybe trade up if he wants Baker Mayfield? We'll go to Denver and get an update on what the Broncos are going to do on the clock. Oh, PT's has got everybody ready for hockey Thursday night. All these April promotions. Be there.
When you look at the guys that have had success that are his height and even a little bit shorter, I'm shorter. I think Russell's a little bit shorter than Baker. So, I mean, I think that, you know, what he's done and the numbers he's put up and success he's had the last 3 years at Oklahoma, I think he's overcome the size issue.
That is John Elway. I'm talking about that. I'm watching ESPN. My friend Paul Gutierrez, who went to UNLV, is making the Raiders a prediction with the 10th pick overall in the NFL mock draft on ESPN, which is a big deal here. So the Raiders, I think that the Raiders will go with a defensive player in the first round. They have to. They got to get a linebacker or a defensive tackle. They have to get a player who can jump in and instantly have an impact when he makes that pick. We'll tell you about it. Michael called in. We appreciate you calling. Michael, what's happening today?
Hey, man. I'm doing well. How's it going?
Real good. Thanks.
Good, good. I had a question regarding some Las Vegas sports. So with the success of the Golden Knights, do you think that puts pressure on the Raiders in their inaugural season coming to Las Vegas to play well?
Absolutely not. The NFL is much, much, much bigger than the NHL. I don't think that the Raiders will have pressure. The Raiders are rooting for the Golden Knights to win the Stanley Cup. Mark Davis is sitting on the glass. The Raiders on their company Twitter are putting out Go Knights. So I don't think that'll put any pressure. Appreciate the call on the Raiders at all. I think the pressure, and I was, you know, John Gruden really had a big day today, and the Raiders took Vita Vee, who's that big, great, the defensive player, the defensive tackle from Washington, which would be a great pick. He was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year in their NFL mock draft. But it's a fair question. I'm happy you called in on that. How does this affect this town, the Golden Knights run, into the Raiders trying to sell season tickets, PSL, as we wait for that beautiful stadium to be built? I think it's a positive. I think it's a positive for everybody here. Now, for the Raiders, before they got John Gruden, I said on the record, I thought that Jack Del Rio would have won a Super Bowl in Oakland with that team before they got to Vegas. And now they blew that up, and they brought in John Gruden to make sure that that's a priority. So that's really important, because now John Gruden has to win a Super Bowl, and I think he'll be the first to tell you that the goal is to win in Oakland. And John Gruden really wants to win in Oakland. I mean, he makes it clear. John Gruden is an Oakland guy. He loves the Oakland Raiders fans. So he would love to get them a Super Bowl and then open up the stadium here 2 seasons after this one. But again, the Raiders have to press the reset button because of letting go of Jack Del Rio and having a 6-win team. That was a real disappointing season. Let's go to Denver. My buddy Brandon Kristol joins us, host of Broncos All Access. And my friend, we just had a New York insider on. Now you with the 5th pick overall. What's the buzz on your radio show and what you're hearing in regards to the mindset of John Elway?
Well, there's a couple of things, and I'm curious, well, what did the New York insider say that's going to happen in New York? Because I think the Giants control the draft as much as anyone. So the Broncos have a bunch of scenarios at 5, but a lot of it, I think, stems with what does Cleveland do with those 2 picks at 1 and 4, but specifically what the Giants do at 2 And then do the Jets go grab Baker Mayfield if he's there? Is that the guy the Broncos love? I think the Broncos have really crafted three scenarios. And one is, if there's a quarterback they love, we'll call it Baker Mayfield, call it Josh Allen, even Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, are they willing to even go up to two to get him, to say, okay, this is our guy, or even all the way to one? I don't know if that's really at the top of John Elway's to-do list. Then it's at five, our favorite quarterback is there, we got lucky, and all of a sudden Baker's there, Josh Allen's there, whomever. Or at five, we're sticking and we're taking the best position player, if that's Quentin Nelson, and Chubb and Barkley are gone, but we will plug him in for a decade and he'll be a Pro Bowler, maybe a Hall of Famer, or if it's Denzel Ward or someone like that, or Chubb or Barkley. Or the third scenario really is, do the Bills want to run up to five because their guy is there, the Broncos are happy with Case Keenum, and want to trade back with a team like the Bills and get a couple first-rounders, 12 and 22. We've heard maybe the Bears are interested in moving up to five, so do they go back to eight and pick up a whole bunch of more picks from the Bears? So it's not that John Elway doesn't know what he wants to do. I don't think he really controls his own destiny, so they're trying to figure out which scenario is most likely to happen and which one they like the most.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this draft. As I said, I think the first 8 to 10 picks could be, you know, Pro Bowlers early in their careers. I mean, I think you could talk about the offensive lineman to Minkah Fitzpatrick to what you could see, obviously, at the quarterback position, whoever hits there. But I'm more interested now with Denver and Case Keenum, because Case Keenum was kicked around from his first Hard Knocks with the Rams and then ends up having this brilliant, magical run with the Vikings, but they seem to fall in love with Kirk Cousins, and now you got a guy with a real big chip on his shoulder. What's been the fan reaction to Case Keenum coming in into a division, obviously with Derek Carr, the veteran and Phillip Rivers, Mahomes in Kansas City? We now know that Keenum can win in this league.
Yeah, I think it's been mostly positive, but I was at the Broncos team store that is connected to the facility where we're building our studios for my station, Orange and Blue 760, and I was talking to the manager guy that's working there, and I said, how many of these Case Keenum jerseys have sold? And he said, well, a bunch when he first signed, but it's kind of slowed down. And that kind of makes sense. I mean, look, he's not Peyton Manning coming in, so we understand that, and he's not Tim Tebow. But he's a guy that's bounced around, like you said. He's played his best football most recently, so that's what Broncos fans should be excited. And now for the first time in his pro career, where he wasn't drafted, which meant nobody really wanted him, and then he's bounced around, like you said, and the Rams, who had him as the starter, where he'd beat out a guy like Nick Foles, well, then they decide to go draft Jared Goff, and we understand why. And then the Vikings, he helps them get all the way to the NFC Championship game. They don't want him. This is the first time that a team has said, hey, we want you. Now, they didn't say they want him for 5 years or longer. They said they want him for a couple of years. But it'll be interesting to see, because we actually had this conversation today, JT, and I'll ask you. We saw Nick Foles win a Super Bowl MVP. Can Case Keenum win a Super Bowl? Because I think the answer is yes. And if it is, that gives John Elway a lot more flexibility at that position in the short term.
Brandon Kristol's our guest, Denver Broncos insider, joining us on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, for Elway here, this is still feels like a Super Bowl, not hangover, but Super Bowl bliss. The Peyton Manning era comes and it goes, and it was highly successful. Von Miller is in the absolute prime of his career. This is a team that doesn't want to rebuild, nor do they have to, but you say goodbye to Aqib Talib. It's not the same defense, especially in the secondary, that it once was. So what's a realistic mindset for this franchise here? Obviously, winning the AFC West, if it's the Raiders, the Chargers feel good about it. You get a home game, and you're in the postseason. Do the Broncos feel and look like a playoff team to you in the offseason?
I think they're close, and a lot of it has to do with what happens up front. You know, they trade for Jared Valdir, who's just an enormous human being. Can he have a better career in Denver than he had the last couple of years in Arizona? You obviously are familiar with him when he began his career with the Raiders. Is he a perennial Pro Bowler? No, but he's a big dude that at right tackle could be a nice fit. Can Garrett Bowles take a big step year one to year two? So can they control the line of scrimmage on the offensive side so that their quarterback's not getting hit in the face and they're not throwing the ball away as much as Trevor Siemian and Brock Osweiler and a little bit of Paxton Lynch did last year? And on the other side, can Derek Wolfe come back from a neck injury healthy? Does Domantas Petko still have gas in the tank? And the rest of the guys up front, can they control the trenches? Because if so, especially on the offensive side, can Jake Butt, coming off that ACL where he didn't play at all as a rookie, be the front line line prospect that everybody thought he was heading into the draft prior to tearing his knee in that Michigan bowl game. Can he contribute at tight end? Does Demaryius Thomas still have gas in the tank? What does Emmanuel Sanders still have left to contribute? What are they going to do at running back after just cutting C.J. Anderson last week? So some questions will be answered in this draft beyond pick number five, but I think there's an expectation in that building because Von Miller is still Von Miller and because Chris Harris Jr. is still here and because of some of those other names that they've had as part of those championship-caliber defenses and top-five defenses, that they can compete to win the division, be in the playoffs, and then, once you're in, anything can happen, compete for an AFC championship and ultimately a Super Bowl championship.
Last one, Brandon. My gut tells me, does yours tell me that L.A. trades out of number five? I like what you said, trading out of five to go to Buffalo because Buffalo's going to panic and go up there and get a quarterback. I don't think L.A. stays at five. I think he moves down.
Yeah, I think you're right, and it's funny because people were saying that early on in the process. And I'm like, well, why are you saying that now? And then as it started to unfold, that's the move that I've liked. Another scenario that's out there, too, is they stick at five, but they trade up from 40 to jump in with maybe Philly or Minnesota at 32 or 30. They've already shown that they can trade with Minnesota, sending Trevor Siemian there to jump back into the first round to give them a second first-rounder. Then they control that fifth year. But, yeah, at five, unless they love one of those quarterbacks, trading back seems like the most value, especially if it's with Buffalo, where at 12 and 22 you can get two starters to plug into a team that, like I just said, they don't think is as far away as some people certainly might.
You're the best. I know you got a show that's going on to fit us in. I really appreciate it. Before the draft, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good, JT. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brandon Cristal. Really cool. He's on the air right now, and he was able to fit us in and do something really cool there. I'm trying to get everybody in on the first five, six, eight picks. We're going heavy with the Raiders tomorrow with the NFL draft, and we'll see what the Broncos do because the Broncos, what I love about this draft, if you need a quarterback, New England needs a quarterback. Tom Brady's great. Tom Brady just won the MVP. Tom Brady just threw for 500 yards in the Super Bowl, but he's near the very end. Doesn't New England want to get Lamar Jackson? Do they want to trade up and get someone? Yes. The Giants have Eli. Eli's almost completely done. How do you pass on Sam Darnold at number two if Sam Darnold drops from one to two? And then the Barkley kid, the running back. I just think Cleveland, everybody says you can't take a running back one. Why not? If he turns out to be a legend and you have the guy to run the ball out in games in the Super Bowl, in the playoffs, and he's the difference, go get him at one. There's two philosophies I've learned in the draft. Do you agree or not? Get the player you want and do everything to get him. So if you're at number seven and you have to get a guy, trade up to number two. Just do it because that's the guy. Or do you believe you stay where you're at and take the best player available? That's what New England does. New England trades down and says, hey, we got six guys we can take and fit in here, so we'll trade down and acquire more picks. So it's fascinating to me. I can't wait for this. I'm off Thursday. I'm going to the hockey game because Thursday Fox is putting the television side of it, along with radio Kirk Menefee, Troy Aikman on the TV side, Joe Klatt. They're all going to be in this time slot, so you're going to get great coverage from Big Fox and Fox Sports Radio on Thursday night. If you're going to the hockey game on Thursday night, or if you're looking for a ticket, how are you getting in? Season ticket holders, do you pass on game one, or do you go to game one and sell game two? And I don't mean sell to San Jose fans. I'm talking maybe give a little Christmas Hanukkah gift to a friend. Maybe someone hasn't been able to go to a playoff game, and you know this is going to go six or seven, so you step away from game two. Or are you in for all the games in front of you because you worked so hard to get the tickets? We'll get into that. Mike North will join us next. No one better. And there's a whole bunch of chaos in New York today about Mike Francesa, the longtime radio host, wanting to come back. My next guest is the first ever sports talk host to make $1 million. Pete Rose was the first ever baseball player to make $1 million. And Mike's really good. He's in Chicago. And we'll talk about getting rid of the kickoff in the NFL. And just the fact that the NFL wants to take the violence out of the game. How smart is that move? JT the Brick, brought to you by Golden Entertainment.
He's a tremendous talent. You know, you put film on, and Penn State's, you know, a defensive guy, and if they're playing Penn State, you end up watching Saquon. Saquon's very gifted and talented. He's one of those guys that my mother could have scouted. She could have figured that one out.
This guy Gettleman is a beauty for the Giants. He acts like he's, you know, having a cappuccino like Tony Soprano out there in Jersey talking to the media. JT the Brick back with you, Fox Sports Radio. Getting you ready for the NFL draft and the breaking news earlier today, the Vegas Golden Knights game one against the San Jose Sharks. Finally, they announce it. It'll be Thursday night right here on the flagship. I've talked about Mike North throughout my career. One of the great, great sports talk radio hosts of all times. Had a big impact on my career and life. And he joins us from Chicago. And Mike, I was thinking of you. I'm always wondering what you're doing, but when I see you're tweeting and we're agreeing on this kickoff potential rule change in the NFL, it has us both going nuts.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that we've agreed on something, and I'll tell you what, we're usually right on. I'm not going to say we're always right, JT. First of all, good to talk to you again, and appreciate the kind words. But second of all, you know, it's like getting rid of the triple in baseball. I mean, the kickoff return every Sunday night, even when I was a kid, and that was a long time ago, you'd see a highlight package at the end of the 3-minute package that'd show you around the league, and there'd be at least one great kickoff return. And the fact that they want to, in a collision sport, get rid of one of the most exciting plays in a play that has had impact after impact on big games throughout the NFL slate throughout the years is mind-boggling to me. And I don't know how it's going to affect the league, but I do know this. People I talk to aren't fans of it.
Mike, you make a great point. Those who can remember and old enough remember that before cable sports and before our phones and getting highlights so quickly, we would have to wait around for Howard Cosell and the halftime highlights on Monday Night Football. And it was the greatest few minutes, and there was always a Billy White, Seuss Johnson special teams return or something great that made the highlight that much more. And, Mike, I've said this. You've been to hundreds of Bears games. I think this is more of a screw job to the fans who go to games and on TV. Can you imagine getting in your seat at a real game in Chicago with a winter coat on, ready to watch a game, and there's no kickoff to start the game, especially in a town where Devin Hester had so much success?
Exactly, and you're talking about, I mean, you know, the one thing to outlaw the jump ball in basketball, because the refs can't put it up right, it was not exact science, but to get rid of the kickoff return. First of all, Devin Hester, it wouldn't be in going into the Hall of Fame, which I believe he will go into. The man had 19 punt returns, I understand it, for touchdowns, but he also had 7 kickoff returns. Gale Sayers, a man who I know personally, averaged 32 yards a kickoff return in the mud. These are artistic ballet dancers that they want to outlaw from the game. The game is mucky as it is right now. It's all pass, pass, pass. It's cosmetic. The one thing you always know is that on a kickoff return, you got a shot to break it, but you also got a shot to see a big hit, which you don't really see in football games anymore.
Mike North joins us, the great sports talk radio host in Chicago. And Mike, I've always said this, I think we're becoming a softer and softer sports society. We're getting squeamish. We want to take the violence out of football. I understand. Do you think there could be a happy medium to this? Do you envision a day when you're watching high school football in Chicago where they don't have kickoffs, but that'll be the point, and then we'll have it in college and the pros? Or do you think it's going to be a goal of the NFL to get it out of here so they don't sit in lawsuit after lawsuit for the next 25 years?
Well, first of all, I think you got to call the people on these lawsuits. I think the league doesn't want to fight. They treat themselves too much like a corporation. I mean, look, there are people that you don't even hear about that challenge the NFL in the concussion room. The NFL does throw lawyers at them and then look into their past, and next thing you know, you don't hear anything about it. There's been that type of situation. But if you're always going to give in, then they're just going to start eating into all the rules. I mean, look what's happened to the pass rules, JT. Look what's happened to football on defense. You used to be able to chuck the receiver going down the field. You used to be as a linebacker before the receiver got the ball. If he cut across the field, but this would give you a forearm and you were finished. There was risk to the game, just like there's risk to construction workers. There's risk, I mean, Marina City, a famous towers in Chicago, 13 men got killed back in the day building that. There's no guarantees in life, just like in a collision sport, there's no guarantee you're going to walk upright, but that's why you get paid the millions of dollars.
Mike, as we wrap this up, I saw on PTI today one of the high topics were tanking in baseball. I go nuts when it happens in basketball. I don't believe in the process of Philadelphia. The process was cheating the fans and quitting for 4 or 5 years and ripping off the season ticket holders, and then eventually they got good. Same thing with the Astros. People forget how bad the Astros were for so many years. Are you sensing with some of these teams in baseball, including the White Sox, that they're going to follow the process of the NBA and teams are going to tank in baseball sooner than later just so they can get better draft picks?
Well, I mean, I look at teams that say now we're tanking when they really just stink.
Yeah.
The Chicago White Sox, if they think, now the Chicago Cubs started rebuilding in 2012. The Sox started rebuilding last year. It's the second year of the rebuild. So by that calculation, the Chicago White Sox are going to win the World Series in 2 years. If they think they're going to be like the Houston Astros to me, JT, are Golden State. You're going to have those anomalies. But I think it's all going to come back in the wash. And then you're going to see things start to come back to maybe the way that they were. I think when you start copying people, you got to remember you don't have those players. The Bulls, I mean, every time they lose, oh, we're just tanking. Who are you tanking for? I mean, it's not like the old days when you had 15 legitimate first-round picks. You maybe have 6 now. So you're going to finish in the 8th slot? Who are you tanking for? Nobody's given me an answer yet. I ask everybody in Chicago, who did the Bulls tank for? There's no answer. Well, we don't know. Well, why were you tanking then? Why weren't you trying to win? Because your team's not good enough to win, and you're using tanking as an excuse to use on the fans. And a lot of the fans, sorry to say, are gullible, and they buy whatever the clubs or whatever the press sells them.
Mike, last question. National news today, but most people don't get it. Mike Francesa could be back at WFAN. He doesn't want to stay retired anymore. It's completely insane in New York right now as he's going up against Michael Kay in New York on a competing ESPN station. It was on PTI again. People are talking about it. You were the first big mm-hmm. local guy to make big money even before him. What about you when you thought about retirement or getting back in? Mm-hmm. Because Francesa's doing it today, and a lot of people are rubbed the wrong way because there's younger talent who took over for him and they couldn't even get to the first book.
I had 25 years. I started, though, when I was 40. I had food places, restaurants before then. I got lucky. I got plucked by a station that was just starting. We had a station. WFAN's only had one show their whole career. In fact, Mark Chernoff recruited me and Dan Jiggets to take over for Len Berman, mm-hmm. and who's a little short guy, the Italian kid, the columnist out there.
Alsola?
Lupica.
Mike Lupica.
We were supposed to take over. We were offered a lot of money. We decided to stay in Chicago, which was a smart move by me. But here's my point. Mike Francesa should have thought this through. You've had 33 years. If you want to come back, fine. That wasn't going to happen to me. I retired on my 25th anniversary of being in radio, 40 years of marriage and 65 years old. I planned it a couple of years ago, not because also the industry's changing. Now, you know this as well as I do. The people that are owning, that are running WFCR in Chicago are the people I knocked out of the box with two other sports stations. And now they're the bosses over there. So I got out just in time because it's all murky right now. You want to talk about a swamp in Washington, D.C.? There's a swamp in terrestrial radio for sure. And if Mike Francesa comes back, good for him. But you're right. Young talent's not being cultivated. It really isn't.
Unbelievable. Thank you, Mike. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Always appreciate it.
All right, brother. I love you. Take care, JT.
Love you, too. Thank you, Mike. Mike North is the best. Unbelievable. And again, he built the platform. He started at 40. He was selling food, selling hot dogs. They heard his voice. They hired him. He skyrocketed, became the guy who set the platform up. So long story short, I was at a Super Bowl early in my career. It had to be 97, 98. And he was there. And I walked up to him and I said, hey, I just got in the business. I'm doing overnights. This company, Sports Fan Radio Network, could you give me any advice? And he gave me his number. And he says, you call me when you need anything. And then he ends up working for Fox Sports Radio. He recently retired to, you know, get into his gaming business and everything he's doing here. But he just called sports talk radio a swamp. And it's very interesting. I've been lucky to do this uninterrupted for 22 years. And there are a lot of changes, and the changes are coming. Bobby, you're telling me to get out again. I'm talking too long. Well, when you don't have 9 lines full with Golden Knight fans, you got to talk like this. I'm trying to change the focus of this town and give hockey fans an opportunity to have a voice. And we'll do that. Thursday night hockey, T-Mobile. Thursday night hockey in the second round. Finally, we'll wrap it up next.
E.G. for 28 down the corner, and he knocks it down! Good gracious! Leave, Minnesota, leave! You want no more of this! The Rockets scored 50! 50 in the third! 169 Rockets after three.
You know, I watched that last night live on the air. They scored 50. That was incredible. They scored 50 in the third quarter. That was a one-point game at halftime. So now we know that Houston is advancing. Golden State plays San Antonio tonight in Oakland. They should win that game easily. They're a heavy favorite. I don't know. Maybe the Spurs are playing for Popovich, who's out, and maybe they'll play hard, but I expect the Warriors to at least win that game if they don't cover. And we're still looking at LeBron James, even in the series with Indiana. He should advance. Toronto's in trouble with Washington. Philadelphia over Miami should be an advance for Philadelphia, and they're the team everybody's talking about. And then New Orleans. New Orleans is under the radar. New Orleans is going to play the Warriors in the next round, rested with Anthony Davis. And we'll get a good feel for what we're going to see next in the playoffs. The next round of the playoffs is going to be fascinating to me because there's going to be no Russell Westbrook, it looks like. OKC out. Utah's advancing, and Utah's playing with a tremendous amount of momentum. Kind of fun to watch that. But a great day today. It was good to be out at City National to see a little bit of practice today and then to find out that game one in round two is coming up on Thursday night between your Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks. We have more Sharks guests coming on, Knights guests coming on. We are all in. Thanks to Golden Entertainment, the owner of PT's, and all their April promotions, everything they have from a gaming perspective to the unbelievable food that has been upgraded. We had the chef in here last week and to talk about their menu, their cocktail and beer menu, the best in town. Thanks to our good friends at PT's for putting the show together every day. PT's, where I go to watch sports. NFL draft Thursday night. There's going to be an NFL draft in Vegas someday. That's why they're building that thing. You seen that off the 15? You see the concrete getting ready? The foundation being poured? If they're doing it in Dallas, you know all those guys rather be in Vegas. Vegas, the future home of the silver and black.